Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your guest host this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. Thank you so much for joining us. Once again, I'll remind you that I have a new piece up at the Recombobulation Area today talking about Ben Wickler potentially running for chair of the Democratic National Committee. So do check that one out. I want to also thank our guests who have joined us throughout the show here, Natasha Karecki of NBC News. She's been reporting on the DNC chair race there. And we're also joined by Eric Name of The Athletic. And for the last segment here, we are joined by John D. Johnson of Marquette University. We've been talking a little bit about the results in the state legislature. You know, there was obviously so much attention paid to the top of the ticket, to Donald Trump's victory, to Tammy Baldwin's victory. And John has really been breaking down a lot of the results at the legislative level. You know, one of the things that's been in the news today, we talked about at the open of the show, was that the Wisconsin Democratic Party of Wisconsin endorsed a candidate in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race today, Susan Crawford, who is emerging as, you know, really the only liberal candidate running in this race. And one of the key decisions that the liberal majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court made was about the maps. They struck down Wisconsin's maps, legislative maps, as unconstitutional. And so, you know, I think a lot of people might be wondering, you know, what is the possibility of the maps changing again, depending on the outcome of this race for Wisconsin Supreme Court? John, what do you think?
Well, certainly possible. We've seen a lot of partisanly motivated reasoning from this court. But it's a little bit more complicated because of the specific way that we ended up with these maps. You know, it's pretty easy for the court to reverse a previous court's decision just to be like, that legal reasoning was wrong. Here's the correct legal reasoning about this issue. So you could imagine the old maps were thrown out on the basis of the interpretation of the contiguity requirement in the state constitution. And you could imagine a new court coming in and saying, actually, that interpretation of contiguity is wrong. That case shouldn't stand. The old maps shouldn't have been thrown out. But the maps we have now were not instituted by the court. They were passed by the state legislature and signed by the governor following the appropriate political process prescribed in the state constitution. And the maps that they replaced, the ones under which the 2022 election were conducted, had themselves just been imposed by the court, which doesn't really have explicit legal grounds in the state constitution at all. So the current maps that we have now are on the firmest legal standing possible, which is not to say that they couldn't be thrown out through some sort of creative legal process, but it will be more challenging because it's not enough for a new court to simply reject the reasoning that led to the old maps being thrown out.
So certainly something that voters should be paying attention to for electing a justice to a 10-year term, right? But it maybe not as urgent of a question as it was a couple of years ago.
Yes, and I mean, I still wouldn't put, I mean, the levels of creative legal reasoning to achieve partisan ends seems boundless.
There is always some legal Calvin ball being played by some of the folks, especially the folks on the right wing side. But before we let you go, we talked a lot about the state assembly before the break here. The state Senate has, you know, that because that senators have 2-year term or 4-year terms, excuse me, only half of the Senate was up for 2024. The other half will be up for reelection in 2026. What do you see as you look ahead to that race a couple of years down the line here?
So in the first segment, we said that Donald Trump won 50, you know, he converted his 1-point statewide victory into a 1-seat majority in the state assembly. Remarkably, he only won 16 of the state Senate districts. So Harris, despite losing Wisconsin statewide, actually won a majority of the vote in a majority of the state Senate districts, which is a great outcome if you're a Democrat. The Democrats flipped all 4 of the seats that they needed to in this state Senate election. And so of the in the swing districts that they'll be competing in 2026, they have to feel good because Harris won the vote in all of them this year. So did Tammy Baldwin. And they don't even need to win all of them in order to win the state Senate, 3 out of 4 will be good enough for them. So you have to be feeling good about the state Senate if you're a Democrat. You know, still a lot of work to do for those candidates. But based on the results of this election, I think they're more optimistic than they were previously.
Yeah, that was, you know, obviously a pretty rough night for Democrats across the board on election night. But this was a real bright spot for building for the future for Democrats. Like you said, there were 5 competitive races and Democrats were able to win all 5. You know, I thought that would be and that was really the best case scenario for the state Senate Democrats there. So, you know, they job well done by the state Senate Dems, putting themselves in position to compete for the majority in 2026. John D. Johnson, I would encourage all of our listeners to follow your work on a Blue Book, on Substack, and at Marquette University, and all over the place here. John, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much.
And thanks so much to our listeners for joining us today on The Maggie Dawn Show and sticking with me as I recombobulated over the last couple hours. My name is Dan Schaefer. I've been your guest host this afternoon. And once again, I will encourage you to go check out the piece that I just wrote today at the Recombobulation Area on Ben Wickler and potentially running for DNC chair. Thank you so much for joining us. Dom Salvia Show is up next. Thank you so much. Be well.